Hi, thanks for joining us for episode 71 of the Kitchen Stitches podcast. My name is Summer. You can find me on Ravelry as Summer Yarns, which is S-O-M-E-R-Y-A-R-N-S. And you can find me on Instagram with the same username.
I'm Katie, and you can find me on Ravelry as Katie B, K-A-Y-T-E-E-B-E. In my profile on Ravelry, I have linked Instagram and Twitter and all that. It's Katie B with a K-T at the end. And then Darcy's not here with us today, but she's slightly foxed, and you can find her link through her on Ravelry.
Yeah, and I'd like to, I haven't done this the past few times, but I'd like to thank all of the returning listeners, and if you're just checking us out for the first time, thanks for tuning in. So we're going to talk about all of the knitting, and I've got just a little bit of spinning, and then we have a little bit of acquisitions and some group news and non-knitting segments at the end. So let's get started with some knitting.
Do we want to start with our question?
Oh, yeah, we can do that. We actually had a question by Jill Serenity on the Ravelry group. And it's actually Katie's question, so I'll let her take it. Do you have it up?
Okay. Yeah. Jill had asked, she wanted to know some information about Darcy and I. We did answer in the group, but in case anyone is curious, Jill wanted to know a little bit more about Darcy and I. So let me say, I am a librarian. I've been a public librarian, an actual degreed librarian for 12 years. Darcy and Summer and I actually, I think, all went to library school kind of together at the same time.
Yeah, Katie and I were actually in a group in one of our classes together, and I didn't realize until we'd probably been working together for a couple of years before I made the connection.
We all work in the same building. Darcy and I are part of the reference team at the main library. Summer works in a different division. I'm married. I've been married 14 years at the end of May. I'm originally from northern Indiana. I have a degree in geology, but I like being a librarian better. of course, I like to read. I read a lot of historical romance, young adult stuff, kind of the fluffy stuff, as well as the YA fantasy. We don't have any kids, but we've got 5 cats. We have 2 cats that live inside, Abby and Jethro, and then I have 3 outside kitties, Fluff, Leo, and Patch. Texas is okay, but I miss really good sweet corn and tomatoes and tenderloins. I'm jealous that Summer gets to go experience tenderloins in a week. My husband, I'm fortunate that my husband cooks and can clean. He was taught well. I do bake, not on a regular basis, but I make muffins or cookies and stuff like that. So that's really all I got to say.
And Darcy answered the question too, but you can read her answer in the Ravelry group, or the next time she's able to join us, we'll have her answer her part. But thanks, Jill, for asking the question. And for those of you who may not know, there is Ask Us Anything? Ask Us Stuff thread in the Ravelry group. So you feel free to ask us anything, and we'll answer anything that we feel like answering, basically. Okay, knitting. I'll start this time. Yeah, so let me see. What do we have? Works in progress. I actually have a lot of works in progress because I started a bunch of stuff this past week. But the one I've been working on for a while is Sumner, which is S-U-M-N-E-R, by Woolly Wormhead. And I'm using Knit Pick Stroll in the Tree Fork colorway. And I think that's actually yarn that I got from Katie at some point in one of your de-stashes.
De-stashes.
Yeah. I'm not actually sure where it came from.
No, yeah, you're right.
And it's really, really pretty. It's a lot of green and brown and some turquoise. I don't have it with me, so I'm going by memory. But this is a pretty basic hat. It's got a rolled, not a rolled brim, a folded brim. And then sections of stockinette and some pearl welts. So where you do like five rows of pearl and then you join it with the last knit row. So you've got these like pearl bumps. And I've finished two of the pearl welts and I'm on the next, or I think I've got one more before I'll start the crown decreases. And this is a pretty mindless pattern. I didn't modify the pattern, but I modified the technique a little bit. The way it was written for the brim, you're supposed to do a provisional cast on and then pick up the stitches. And I've done other patterns before where it had a similar style. And instead of doing the a provisional cast on, you just pick up the bound off or the cast on stitches as you go. And for me, that was pretty easy. And I'm kind of doing the same thing on the welts. The pattern has you picking up all of the stitches on a separate needle, then holding the needles and stitching two together, which seemed very complicated to me when it's really, really easy to just look at it from the back and pick up those knit stitches. It's just a pearl bump. So that's how I've done it, and I personally think it's a lot more efficient than the other way would have been. I've been working on that, and that one stays at work. And it's mindless enough that I've done some trainings where I was just listening and was able to do that at the same time. Then a couple of weeks ago, I did a lot of work on the Moab shawl by Very Busy Monkey. And I'm using a hand-spun gradient that I did earlier this year, either late fall or early spring. That's kind of a purple gradient. And it's a really simple pattern. I can't even remember what it looks like that's because I haven't gotten to the edging. It's just right now it's just stockinette. And it's fun to watch the gradient. And I've also worked a little bit on Gridolin by Hunter Hammerson. This is the third pattern in her Curls book, which are very interesting patterns. If you haven't seen them, it's been about a year and a half, I think, since this book came out. Basically, she has a technique that's it's like a combination between a shawl and a scarf, but the way you do the increases on one end makes it curl, so it hangs really interestingly. I think some of them, after having seen some of them knit up, I think they don't maybe hang quite as easily as the book made it seem that they would.
That they're styled.
Yeah, the book, they're styled very nicely. I never seem to be able to make mine look like hers do. But this one, of the three I've done, this is the easiest of the three patterns. It's very memorizable. The last one was kind of a pain, even though it was a really simple pattern. The end was, I messed up so many times. This one, the increases at the end are really simple, and the pattern is really simple. And it's like a really nice, kind of like a mock cable pattern. And I'm doing that in Schaefer Yarn Company Heather, I think is the name of the yarn. And it's kind of a brownish bronze, maybe. It's got some silk content, and it's more of a sport weight. And so it's got a nice sheen to it. And it's going to be really pretty. I'm thinking this one may be a gift when I finish, depending on when I finish it. And depending on how much I like it once it's finished, because if I can't let go of it, I don't have to.
Nope.
And then this week on the 1st, I started a whole bunch of product. Well, I had the intention on Sunday of doing a massive cast-on fest. And I ended up getting I got three things cast on Sunday with the intention of doing a couple of others. But the things that I did cast on was One Love by Susan B. Anderson. And all of these I am using, for all of these I'm using patterns and yarns that are by sponsors of the End of the Wool retreat that's happening in September. So One Love is by Susan B. Anderson, and I'm using some of my hand spun in Twist Fiber Studio. It's in the Clown College colorway, which is a rainbow. And this one, it's actually, it's a mostly fingering to sport weight single, and it's knitting up, it's actually knitting up really, really pretty. It's kind of a, it is a rainbow, but it's a mirrored rainbow, so it goes to, from purple to yellow to orange to red, green to blue, then back to purple. And actually, it's hard to, there's some purple and blue mixed in where yeah, I didn't say
I
it
see
too.
More purple than
yeah,
blue.
Some of the areas have more purple, some of them have, well, the purple is pretty pretty prominent. The blue is not necessarily prominent in all of it, but it's working up really nicely. The only problem with this is I thought that when I spun this, I had closer to 400 yards, and it turns out I only have about, I think it was 296 yards, and the pattern calls for 400 yards. That said, it is intended for a hand spun or that one skein of sock yarn that you have that you don't know what to do with, and it is completely modifiable. So if I don't have enough, I don't have to use it all. I am not sure how big it will be, but I think I could easily add a contrast color to the end of it if I need to. So this is actually my favorite work in progress. It's kind of addictive to work on. And the pattern itself, actually, I didn't talk about that. It has three different sections. It has a garter stitch section, a stockinette stitch section, and then an eyelet section, and then it just progresses through those until you're out of yarn. Super addictive and super portable too at this point anyway. And then I also cast on the Everglade by Woolly Wormhead using Madeline Tosh, Tosh DK, and Smokestack. And this one, as I'm doing it, I'm not 100% sure I have enough of the yarn. Both the this particular one, I'm using a partial ball. I had knit a colorwork hat a few years ago for my daughter, and I had left over about the same amount of Smokestack and Thyme, both in Tosh DK. And I measured all of my yarn, and I should have 190 something yards, but looking at it, it just doesn't quite seem like I'm going to have enough. So if I don't, what I may do is just do the brim in Smokestack and then do the body and the crown and the Thyme. So it'll just be a color block hat. So that is what I'm doing for that. And then the last one that I cast on was the Dragonflies hat by Hohe Locatelli. And I'm also using Madeline Tosh DK for that one in Baroque Violet, which is a really dark purple with pops of kind of blue. It's one of those colors that's, the color changes are very subtle. So I think I could tell you more if I had it out in the sunlight, but it's mostly, obviously with Baroque Violet, it's mostly purple, but it's a really dark purple. And this one I'm only about maybe halfway through the brim on that. And then it goes into this, looks like a fairly complicated charted pattern. So we'll see how that one goes. And then the only other thing, this is a nothing. My Leona Dare that I had been working on for a while, I actually ripped out after I wasn't really sure about the color combination in the first place. It was a kind of a dark gray and a turquoise blue, and I just didn't really like the contrast between them, but I kept convincing myself that the further I got that I would like it better, but even at this point I wasn't sure. And then one day I was working on it and went to tighten the edge stitches and didn't realize that the needle had fallen out, and I ripped probably 15 side stitches off, and rather than pick it up, I just frogged the whole thing.
Yep.
So I sat and looked at it for a few minutes, and then I'm like, not sure about this project anyway. This is still one I love the pattern. I'd like to knit it at some point, but it was kind of boring at this point. The edging looks fun, but it's a striped stockinette shawl, and it just wasn't doing anything for me. So it's gone for now. And then I do have a little bit of spinning. I'm working on Three Waters Farm, Targi, and Lingering White, which is, they're very fall colors. It's, although I think this was the January colorway, but it's like grays and browns and kind of some dusky blues and maybe some kind of purples in there. And it's actually, it's really pretty. I'm almost done with it. I actually was hoping that I would have had a little more time this morning and I would have had it finished, but I'm applying it and I'm down to the last probably, I don't know how many yards, but like just the last quarter of a bobbin probably before it's done. And that is all of my works in progresses. Is that works in progress?
Yep.
Yep.
Let's see. I am working on Still the Raina Shawl by Nora Lavola using Savvy Skein's Kamal Sock in Midway. So it's a speckled yarn, so it's a cream colored base with speckles of like some blue, purple, orange, and gold. I'm in the last lace, it's a free pattern. I'm in the last lace section. I don't know if I'm gonna have enough yarn. We'll see. To make it big enough to wrap around my neck. And I don't know that I wanna edge it with a different color. That might look a little weird. I don't know. We'll see. Well, I'm gonna go as far as I can and then maybe just block it as best I can. But it's 400 yards, so I should be able to get, it'll be a small shawlette, and so we'll see. It's not a big shawl. Working on Paris Treasures by Isabel Kramer. Again, that's another one of those garter and eyelet, shawls. I'm using Plucky Knitter Crew, which is, merino and cotton, and Magnet and Steel, which is a nice, like, charcoaly gray. And I haven't really worked on Skelter, because YouTube doesn't work at work.
Oh, yeah.
And so I need to look up how to cable without a cable needle, because I'm spatially challenged. And so I think I'm doing it right, and then I think I'm like, did I do that right? How did I do that?
I can probably work with you on that if you want me to, because I don't use a cable needle.
So,
it's one of those I had to just get my head around it. Once I figured out the logistics of it, it's like we've talked about being spatially challenged. Once you get that, it's like, okay, that's what
it is. Well, I'm just like, I'll put it down and then I'm like, okay, so does it go to the front? Does it go to the back? And so then in my head, I'm trying to pretend there's a cable needle there, and I mean, it'll...
That's what it's like, okay, pretend this needle is a cable needle instead. Now, what would I be doing if there was a cable needle here?
Right, yeah. But it's, you know, tons of cable crosses across, yeah, like, 80 or 90 stitches, so... I haven't touched that in a little while, but... Because I've been working on Raina at work. But I'm using Malabrigo Rios and Posion for that. And then, about a week ago, I started, a test knit for... Her name's Cassie Muntsgaard. She's Fire Dancer 41 DMB or something like that is her Ravelry username. A test knit for a triangle shawl. She wrote the pattern for worsted weight, but I didn't want to sacrifice. I didn't either have enough yardage or a color I wanted to make it in. So I'm using an Aran weight. I sacrificed 4 skeins of Plucky Knitter Traveler Aran in Petal Pusher. Traveler Aran is a merino silk and yak yarn. So it's got a nice sheen to it, or glows a little bit depending on the color. And then Petal Pusher is a... like lilac that you would have added some red to. So it's kind of a purple, mm-hmm, dark lilac with red tones to it. And I'm 2 skeins through that, so I've got like 70 more rows to go, maybe 60 more rows to go. It's getting heavy. It's too full. I'm at 2 full skeins right now, so I'm at over 400 yards of Aran weight. on a needle.
Wow.
On a size 10. Yeah. So that's all I got for whips.
I don't think either one of us have any finished objects this week.
Nope.
And I don't think I'm a new. I don't think I'm even close on anything right now.
No. I didn't bring, I thought about bringing Raina home. I'm like, no, I need to work on that test note so I can get that done. Because she kind of wanted it within 3 or 4 weeks, so. And I have to work next weekend, so. That's that. That's all I got for that.
Casting on soon. I'm kind of torn right now. I bought for my birthday 3 nice big skeins of Blue Moon Fiber Arts Targi worsted in, I don't remember what the color is, but it's a bright red. And I was going to make lipstick by Hohe Locatelli, and that was one of the things I'd planned to cast on for the End of the World Spotlight Cal. But looking at the patterns, I don't know that I want to knit this right now. So now I have all of this sweater yarn that I bought specifically for this pattern that I'm not sure what to do with. And I wanted to do something for the Spotlight Cowl. I was looking at Harvest by Tin Can Knits. I do have enough for that, but I'm not sure. For some reason, there's just something, that sweater seems like it wants, to me, for me, wants to be something more neutral. It's just a big wraparound cardigan. To me, it just wants to be like brown or neutral, or I don't know why. It just doesn't seem like it wants to be. It doesn't want to show off. And this yarn, I feel like it needs to be something more special. So I'm not sure about casting on the Harvest. I will be traveling in about a week, just over a week. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah.
A week and a half to Indianapolis, and I will be there for 8 nights. So I need to have things that I can take with me. So I need to look at what I have and see if these are good travel knits, and if not, then I might have to do some casting on. I definitely need to make sure I have a pair of socks. That's really good plain knitting for me. And then,
well, maybe it doesn't some take other up things. Much room either.
Right, that's the big thing. Since I'm going to be gone 8 days, I don't think I can get away with not checking any luggage this time. So I can stick more, well, depending on how many clothes I have to pack, I can stick some works in progress in my luggage.
Right, but once they join you, how much knitting time are you going to have?
Yeah, I'll be there for 4 days by my, well, 3 nights, but 4 days by myself. But those days I'm going to be in like some serious heavy duty training all day long.
All, yeah.
So I don't even know that I'll want to knit at night anyway. So I probably don't really need to bring that much. But I'm a knitter, and I'm sure that I am going to overpack. It's like, I don't need those clothes.
Because if you don't bring it, you're going to just be sitting there with nothing to
do. So, but I don't even remember. I was probably in high school, maybe college, the last time I actually checked baggage. Because we always I don't fly very often anyway. But when I have, I've just done everything in a carry-on. But I just don't think I can get away with it.
For 8 days.
Yeah, there are laundry facilities in the hotel, but I would rather not spend my time sitting in a hotel laundry room. So, I don't know. If I don't, I'm going to have to go shopping because I don't know that I have enough changes of clothes. But, off on a tangent. So, I don't have concrete plans for what I'm going to cast on, but some mindless knitting.
Take a sock,
yeah.
A hat or something. My issue is always, working on a project that involves multiple colors. So it's like you don't want to haul the whole ball.
Yeah.
So then you gotta spend the time breaking your cakes down, So.
Yeah.
Oh, the quandaries.
Yeah. I mean, I've got a lot of hats queued, and I've got a lot of cowls. So I've got a lot of DK weight stuff that would be really good.
I think
portable projects.
I don't think you're going to get as much time as you think, because you're going to, your brain is just going to be.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Take, I would say, three projects.
That's probably right. Yeah.
Maybe three one slightly bigger and then two small.
Yeah, projects that I have that are not, I'm not too far into, so I'm not in danger of finishing them.
Right.
Yeah. There are two yarn stores that are not that far from where I'll be. So if all else fails, I can Uber to the yarn store.
Yeah.
Okay. What about you? Are you casting anything on soon?
I have yarn wound for A Sophisticated Traveler. It's also by Cassie Munsgaard. The pattern is currently exclusive to Plucky Knitter, I think for 6 months. So sometime in October, it'll be released to the public. They were selling kits and stuff, and I managed to get a free pattern gifted to me from someone. Because if you, for each kit you buy, you get a pattern, and Cassie was kind enough to gift those extra patterns. So I'm going to try Sophisticate, which is a mohair. It's mohair in merino. I don't know if there's silk in it or not. So that's kind of a heavy fingering weight, and then Traveler, sport. So that's a sport weight, silk and yak and merino using, and I'm using, for the Sophisticate, I'm using a color called Bedrock. So it's kind of like a yellow that's been washed over with black. So kind of, if you think about looking at rocks. And then, Magnet and Steel, which is a dark, on Traveler, it ends up being a dark, charcoal gray, almost black. So I'm going to start that at some point after I finish her other test knit. I'm kind of hemming and hawing about what I want to do for the Into the Wool spotlight. I actually have a lot of the sponsor yarn and patterns, but I kind of sometimes feel like I'm being forced to knit things that I don't necessarily am in the mood to knit or want to knit. And I love knitting. I just, you know.
Sometimes you just have to do what you want to do.
Right. And, you know, technically you have all summer. Granted, August, it ends in the middle of August.
Yeah, August 15th, I think.
So that'll be here before you know it. So, I really want to start knitting socks because I have a large sock yarn collection. But I'm angsty about picking the right pattern. I do want it to be like a vanilla sock, but I'm all angsty of, well, should I do toe up or cuff down? And I'm being very angsty about the heel. Because everyone talks about this heel and that heel, and I have big feet. I'm like a size 11 to 12. So I'm going to use at least my 400 grams of yarn or 400 yards of yarn. So, I pulled some yarn out. I'm going to try an OMG, pattern by Megan Williams. I think I'm going to start toe up so that I can manage my yarn. And I'm going to use Trusty Sock by Nomadic Yarns. It's one of her self-striping. I have a couple of them. She wraps them up like what they call gumballs. So it's called Tinsel Tree. So it's a gold, a pink, a teal, and a gray. So I will start that here sometime. I printed the pattern out, and I'm using, you get points for using bags and the yarn and all that. So I got a shark bag because I like sharks. So we'll start that. We're going to a baseball game on Tuesday, so I don't know if I can take that or not. That might be something to work on while I'm at the game.
Yeah.
It just feels weird going someplace and not being able to knit, but I have to sit there for 3 hours.
Yeah, I would knit at a baseball game. Are you going to the Astros?
Yeah. Well, you can't take stuff into, like, the Texans games.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can't carry a purse into the Texans game.
I haven't been to an Astros game in long enough that I don't know if they've changed, but I'm...
They check your bags.
They do the stitch and pitch for Astros occasionally, so...
But Dave said that he thinks the Astros are a lot more lenient than the NFL. Mm. But yeah, they have a clear bag policy at the NFL. I wouldn't be able to take knitting if I went to a Texans game.
Oh. Huh.
So, I don't know. Part of it is I don't know that I want to carry anything around either.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm still hemming and hawing about what I'm going to knit, what's next on the needles. I want to finish the shawl the one big shawl I'm working on. I'll start these socks. I like having a small project, like a hat or something that's easy to pick up and put down.
Yeah, me too.
So, and then I am working on a hats for Grammy. That's part of the end of the wool. I'm using Lion Brand, like, woolies. It's like knitting with carpet.
That's how I felt when I knit the Malabrigo head thingy. I was using Plymouth Encore. Yeah.
No, I'm frogging it. I'm like, you know what? I wouldn't wear this. I'm not going to make somebody else wear this. And I think Dave had made something with it and washed it, and it just sticks to everything else it washes when you wash it. So it's like basically a ball of carpet. So, no, I'm going to frog it, and I'll find some different yarn to make. It was in a bag of stuff that he was getting rid of. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, acrylic. I'm like, yeah, that's why he's getting rid of it.
Yeah.
So I'll palm it off on somebody at Yarn People.
Yeah. Somebody will end up with it.
Yeah.
Let's see. What's next? Acquisitions. I have more than you, so why don't you go first?
Okay. Well, they're upstairs. If you want to see them later, I'll show them to you. But Mustache Yarn is doing a Star Wars knit-along or competition, whatever
Sock
you want.
Wars.
Sock Wars, yeah. So Stacy is the dyer behind Mustache Yarns, and she does, self-striping sets, and she does what's called OCD sets. So what she does is the skeins of yarn are broken into two smaller skeins, so the 200 or whatever yardage, and then she twists them together in one skein. So it's already pre-broken up for you. So you wind it up and knit your sock, and you don't have to worry about weighing for yardage and stuff like that. So she had a pre-order a couple weeks ago for the first couple in the series. So I got R2-D2 and C3PO. C3PO is blue, red, gray, and white maybe. It's the colors of R2-D2 in the self-striping, but they're not even stripes. They're, you know, variant widths. And then R2-D2, which is the main color, is kind of like a yellow gold. And there's, I think, some red and gray in there. And then I also got, a couple days, a week or so later, she had BB-8, which is gray, orange, and white. And Ray, which is like a tan, blue, very neutral.
Yeah, I think there's some red in there maybe.
Yeah, they're really pretty. I don't know what I'm going to make with them yet, but I got all four of them. The BB-8's actually for a coworker, but I haven't told her that I got it yet.
So you're under no obligation.
So I'm under no obligation to part with it and or knit it for her at this point in time.
Yeah. Although she could probably
use it, but well, I got stuff I want in it, so
yeah,
she can wait.
One thing about hand spun. Sorry, I'm knitting as we speak, and I've been switching the pattern on this as I get to the purple, and I'm like, oh, I've got to the purple, and now I'm knitting green, and then I look, and I'm like, oh, look, there's more purple. But okay, whatever. My acquisitions. I have a lot on here, but it's really, I want to talk about the swap package that I got through part of the Two Knitlet Chicks, so that's why. First thing though, I also got one of the OCD sets from Mustache, and I got the Ray, and I got it because that's my daughter's favorite character, and so I will ask her when she comes back, which she'll be back from college next week. I will ask her if she wants me to knit something for her with it. If she doesn't want socks with it, then I probably, or mitts. I guess I could do mitts for her. If she doesn't want them, then I'll keep it for myself. But she does have it's hers if she wants it. If not, tough luck for her. Then I also got my last shipment of the Three Waters Farm Top of the Month, which I subscribed to that for 6 or 7 months, and basically my fiber stash is getting out of hand, and I'm trying to knit. I can get maybe 1.5 braids spun in a month these days. And I'm getting close to a year's worth of spinning. So I wanted to back down on that. And then, but I have one more shipment after I canceled. And I meant to check and see what the colorway was for this one. And I don't remember. I think it had to do, it's like rain on the tulips or something like that. I don't remember what it was, but it was kind of a springy color. It had some purples and pinks, and I may be getting 2 months mixed up, but it was pretty. And then I forgot to mention when we recorded last time, because we had all of our new acquisitions, that I had gotten a Gale's Art sock plank. I guess it's probably been about a month now, but it was one of those knee-jerk Instagram purchases. I saw that she posted, she posted that she had updated her shop, and I've been just kind of looking at sock blanks and was kind of waiting for one to just scream out at me, and this one screamed out at me. It was a watermelon sock blank. So it's got green, it's like a variegated green, like a base green with some darker green to mimic the rind of watermelon, and then pink with black specks. And it is so pretty. And I don't know what I'll make with it, but I actually am thinking I might do another One Love shawl like I'm making right now. But I got that, and then I had also bought a couple of stitch markers from Sucre Miniatures that I had forgotten to mention. I got a powdered donut and a coffee, and those are so cute. And I keep forgetting that I have them, so they're not on a project right now. But I got them as project, progress keepers. So I can just stick them on something. And then, as I mentioned, I got my swap package for the Two Knit Lit Chicks swap. And it was so great. Most definitely this was the best swap I've ever been a part of. The person who ran it for Barb and Tracy, she actually never managed a swap before, but she did such a good job. Her name is Sandra Maz on Ravelry. She coordinated the whole thing, matched everybody up, and then kept participation going through the whole swap. And we had about 3 months to put our packages together and really stalk our swap partners. And the person who got me did a great job. So I got my package, and I'll just go through real quick what it was in it. I got the Mason Dixon Knitting Coloring Book, a hand knit scarf that the person who had me, and the person who had me is Minnie Newman on Ravelry. She taught a friend to knit like during the swap, and what she gave me was what she had used to teach her. So it was different yarns, kind of like a little sampler with different stitch patterns. Or it was mostly garter, but it was a very thoughtful gift. And that would have been a hard memory to give up. So that was very nice. And then a few things of loose tea, which I am not a huge tea drinker. I don't drink hot tea. So my first thought was, I don't know that I'll drink this. But then I happened to notice on the back that it had instructions for iced tea. And even as a Southern girl, iced tea is not my favorite, but I was intrigued by the concept of this herbal tea as an iced tea. So I've done one of them, which was like, I think it was peaches and cream. And I did it as iced tea, and it was so good. So I'm actually really, really looking forward to trying the rest of them too. Then she also sent me some salted caramels, which were absolutely delicious. some stitch markers that were really cool. They're teardrop shaped, and they're just like a plain metal circle with a, that are teardrop shaped. A skein of hand spun yarn that she had bought. Not, she hadn't spun it herself, but she had bought somewhere that was kind of a pastel. I think it was merino tinsel. A bunch of minis for my sock yarn blanket, and then a book on the civil rights movement in Huntsville, Alabama, and a brochure about the Alabama Civil War Trail. And she told me that she had just stuck those in at the last minute on a whim. And it turns out, for me, that I grew up in the South, and I'm really interested in civil rights in the South and the Civil War and that type of thing. So that was actually a perfect gift. And that is all I have as far as acquisitions. Events, the only thing coming up, we've got Houston Fiber Fest, which is coming up in about a month and a half, June 24th through the 25th, 2016, in Cypress, Texas, which is just north of Houston. I have on our notes that me and Darcy will probably be there June 25th, and Katie will likely be there on June 24th. I don't know if she has decided, I don't know if you've decided whether or not you're going to switch schedules or not.
Mm-hmm. We'll see. It depends on, it's a pain to switch weekends. It just throws everything off. But if there's people coming.
There are several people coming, and we're planning. I know we're planning a lunch. A whole bunch of us are planning to get together for lunch that day.
So. See, my thing is that working that weekend then gives me the next Friday off, mm-hmm. which is 4th of July. Mm-hmm.
So that would be a nice long weekend.
It would be a 4-day weekend for 4th of July.
Yeah.
Unless I, screw somebody over the weekend before. Well, although maybe that would be an incentive if I don't want to work 4th of July weekend. Although we would be closed at Sunday.
Oh, that's true. Yeah. But then that makes for a weird.
Yeah, and it just throws everything off, so. I don't know. We'll talk about it later. And, yeah. If we can even get up there. Eldridge is supposedly closed too.
Oh yeah, with all the flooding we had, I'm not sure how to get to Cypress right now.
I would think by the middle of June they would have Eldridge open at least.
Yeah, and I know Highway 6 was going to be closed for a while, but I don't remember how long, and it could be open by then.
Someone said Highway 6 was going to be closed like months.
Yeah.
But Eldridge, I think, should open up sooner. And it's actually easier to go up Eldridge because it's right off of Eldridge.
Oh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I'm not, sorry to talk about the traffic woes of Houston, but that's, their traffic woes in Houston are a serious conversation. No, Highway 290 is a mess and I will avoid it at all costs.
But no, it's easier to go up Eldridge.
Well, for me, I could go the Beltway.
Actually, you go up the Grand Parkway and cut over 290.
That's true. Yeah, we can get there. We will make it.
We can get there. Yeah. You may have to take a roundabout way if the road's not open or something.
Yeah. And then we've mentioned both that we're both going to Into the Wool Fiber Retreat. That's September 1st through 4th, which is Labor Day weekend in Crossville, Tennessee. And Katie and I will both be there. And we got our roommate assignment, so we're rooming together with a couple of friends. So that will be a lot of fun. I don't see any reason why I can't say who we're rooming with. I don't know why. It's not a secret. We're rooming with Heidi, who's Knitty Girl, and Jeanette, who's Bookish Stitcher. So that's going to be a whole lot of fun. I can't wait. I'm really looking forward to that. It'll be here before we know it.
Yeah, it will be.
Yeah. And then I mentioned in passing that I'll be in Indianapolis in mid-May. It's already mid-May almost.
10 days.
And I will be leaving on the 18th. So yeah, about 10 days. And I will be there for 8 days, but I'm mostly unavailable. I'm more interested in any suggestions, if anybody has ideas for things to do in downtown Indianapolis or yarn shops, or what the walking situation is between downtown and the couple of yarn shops that I know are nearby. The days that I have where I might actually have some free time are middle of the week, so I don't anticipate that anybody would be able to meet up with me. But if by any chance you happen to be in the area and you want to meet up on, say, Wednesday the 18th or potentially Thursday the 26th before I go to the airport, just PM me and maybe we can work something out. We already did ask us stuff. Okay, so we have mentioned in at least the most recent episode, and maybe before, that we had some scheming going on for a knit-along. So we want to announce what our official knit-along will be for the summer. And this will be really, it's only the second knit-along that I've done since I started the podcast. That's pretty sad, actually. But, so as Katie mentioned, and if you've listened for a while, you know that we're librarians. And while this is not a book-themed podcast, it just tends to creep in, and it seems to be more book-related than kitchen-related lately anyway. But we decided that we wanted to coincide a summer cal with the summer reading program. So if you are a user of the public library at all, you may or may not be familiar, especially if you're a parent, that most public libraries in the United States have summer reading programs where it's basically an incentive for kids to read and you get prizes and that type of stuff. And it's always if you work in a public library, it basically takes over the library for 2 or 3 months. So we decided to just add to the crazy this year and bring it home too. So we want to have a summer reading cal. And after much deliberation, we have come up with plans for this. So I think maybe I have a better grasp of what we had in mind. So I will try to explain this. Okay, just a minute. Sorry, I'm knitting. I'm at the end of a row. So let me get the last 3 stitches done so I can look at my notes and make sure that I say this right. So basically, we are going to do a book-themed knit-along. And, sorry, I'm opening up my different set of notes. Okay. So we're going to have categories, and you can enter your project in a category. And it will count for prizes. So we have divided the categories up. We've got 4 different categories. One is short story, and that is for projects that are up to 100 yards. We've got novel, which is projects that are up to 400 yards. My notes aren't right. Oh, okay. And then chunkster, which is anything over 400 yards. And then we have a box set. So this is for those items like sock blanket squares or things that wouldn't meet the short story requirement of up to 100 yards. If you want to group them all into one to equal at least 100 yards, that would count as a box set. I'm trying to think of another example. I know like sock blanket squares are one thing, hexapuffs. If you are spinning, you could do, like if you do, like for me, I do little samples on my spindle that are often maybe, you know, 25 to 30 yards. You could group a whole bunch of those together into one. Any other things that you can think of? They're small, little, like the small stuffies.
People, right? Washcloths.
Yeah,
washcloths. Posters,
yeah. Or something. Anything like that. Anything that you want that wouldn't, if you can get a group of things together that equal 100 yards, that would count as a box set. Sorry, my phone is going crazy. Any Ravelry approved craft would count, so knitting, spinning, weaving, or crochet. And it does, sorry, we just talked about this, I'm trying to grab out of my head the things we talked about. Also, it doesn't, so you can tie it into something, I guess we're not doing the deciding. Yeah, we decided not to do that. Sorry about this. So that's the main thing. Then we also, the thing that I wanted to add into this, because I want to try to keep a kitchen theme going, is also do a cookbook club. So I'm going to, when I post all of this, I'll post a thread for a cookbook club where we can choose, we'll vote on a cookbook. And then to participate, you just have to make a recipe out of that particular cookbook. And I would say post a picture and maybe what you thought of the recipe or if you would recommend it or that type of thing.
Do you use cooking blogs at all? Because that might be accessible.
Oh, yeah. It doesn't have to be.
Because some people, you know, in a foreign country or...
That's true.
Might not have access, you know...
Yeah, I didn't think about that. But, yeah, we could do a cooking... We could choose recipes. Like, I mean, like, I've done a lot of recipes from Sally's Baking Addiction. So she has the cookbooks, but she also has her blog. So we could do that as well.
Right.
But basically, just taking one source and then doing a bunch of recipes from that. We haven't decided on prizes for sure. But we do know that there will be a chatter thread where you can post, you know, anything you want to. Like... The big thing we had an idea for one category that you wouldn't have to tie into yardage, but that was getting too complicated. So basically the chatter thread, you can chatter about anything you want to, but also if you really don't want to deal with, measuring how much yardage you have or anything like that, you can throw a project in there. And at the end, we'll do a random drawing from the chatter thread. And then we'll have a prize for each of the four categories, which again were short story, novel, chunkster, and box set. And then we'll do, a random drawing out of the cookbook posts too. And I guess we'll keep that as one thread and maybe do a different cookbook each month, but we'll keep it. That'll all be one thread. So there'll be a total of six prizes. And like I said, we haven't decided yet, but there will definitely be a couple of skeins of yarn. I'll probably do a skein of my hand spun. And if anybody wants to donate for this, that would be great. We would happily accept it. Otherwise, I would say we'll probably do a skein of yarn out of at least mine and Katie's stash. I don't want to speak for Darcy because she's not here. And then the rest will be patterns. I think that's fair. And then the time period for this, we're saying from the beginning of June through the end of September. So June 1st through September 30th. This will also... Oh, yeah, we had also talked about getting a prize from while we were at Into the Wool. And then whips count. So if you are doing Stash Dash and you have started things at the beginning, like sometime in May, you can count that for us, too. Double dipping is absolutely fine. Is anything else? Am I missing anything? Anything you want to add?
No, we just really hope people want to play along.
Yeah, we're hoping we haven't done, we hope that people want to come play with us. So if you want to spread the word that that you're participating, that would be great. I guess that's it. I will get, when I do the show notes for this episode and post it, I will actually go ahead and start the threads, but I'm going to lock them until June 1st. But okay. You can get in at least and see what's going on. And like I said, we'll start on June 1st. So come play with us. We would love to have you come read along and play with us for the summer. And if anybody has any ideas for other ways to make this more fun, things you want to add, we're open to suggestions too. Or... You know, if we don't implement them this year, then maybe we can keep them in mind for next summer. But we are open. So, on to non-knitting segments, if anybody is interested. And I just added a marker. I've never done that. Oh. That way I can post on there where non-knitting segments start.
Okay.
I'm feeling a little dingy. Sorry. So, in the kitchen... I don't really have anything, but I do have a sad story, and that is the fact that my oven is currently broken. It is not 100% broken, but the other day this is exactly how these things happen. I really, really did not want to cook. And finally got myself up off the couch and threw something together and stuck it in the oven that should have been really quick, and I went and it just wasn't cooking. Like I was broiling something and baking something else. I don't remember what. and the broiling, it wasn't broiling. And then the baking wasn't working. And we have a double oven, so it was neither the top or the bottom was working correctly. And after I finally got things, it was working enough that if I cranked it up and left it in there long enough, it cooked it. It just took a lot longer than it was supposed to. So I did some experimenting and figured out, as far as I can tell, the broiler is not working on either the top or the bottom oven. And then the baking element is off by at least 50 degrees. So if I crank it up to 400, I can cook at 350 degrees, at least for right now. I have my phone on Do Not Disturb, and it doesn't seem to be listening to me.
Well, you might not. Whoever is doing it can go through. Yes,
that's right, because it's my husband, but still. Sorry for the buzzing. So that's my sad news. So Jimmy really wanted a cake. This is very frustrating because for his birthday, I was going to make him a cheesecake and then decided I was just going to bake a regular cake. And we were going camping and a couple of our friends were supposed to come meet us. And then neither of the friends were able to make it. So it was just us. So I didn't want to bake a cake and bring it up there just for us. So I told him I would bake it when we got home. His birthday was on Monday. And then we were really busy and we decided, okay, I'm not going to bake a cake. But we ended up going and getting cheesecake from Cheesecake Factory on his birthday. I thought that was the end of the story.
You're off the hook.
But then recently he keeps saying, I really want cake. I'm like, okay, well, what kind of cake? Well, he still wants the kind of cake that I was going to make him for his birthday. He had a medical procedure done this week and he was kind of whining. He's like, I really want cake. And I couldn't. I was like, well, I'm sorry, but I can't make you a cake. So I can't. We ended up going and buying a red velvet cake from the grocery store, but I'm kind of feeling a little, I can't actually, it's like, I would love to make him a cake, but I can't actually go in and do it. So I'm feeling really bad. So the oven is broken. So now we're in the happy news is that we've decided that we're going to, well, I mean, we have to, but we are shopping for ovens and we're trying to decide what we want to do. And I'm excited about the prospect of getting one that's not 30 to 40 years old. I mean, we don't know how old the one is, but it's very possible that it's original to the house, which was built in 1973.
We just got rid of the repair manuals from all those really old repair manuals for appliances.
Yeah. And we've replaced the element a couple of times in the past, probably 5 years. Yeah, which was not a big deal. It clearly is time for a new one. So those are my knitting, I mean, not knitting, my baking woes. So for now, the end of the, I won't be doing much in the kitchen until we actually have time to get it fixed and have chosen one. I mean, not fixed, but get it replaced and have chosen one. And because the oven, we cook on the stove some, but I almost always use the oven in some capacity. So there's been very little in the kitchen for the past, I would say it's only been a week because that's how long it's been on the fritz. But really it's since I started my new job, I haven't wanted to cook. I've been so busy at work that I'm just beat at the end of the day. So cooking has not been at the top of my priorities. So I don't know if Katie has any kind of into the kitchen
no
type of stuff.
Nope.
So we are almost out an hour, but we both wanted to talk about reading and watching because we didn't talk about it the last time. I'm going to let Katie talk because I have been talking. Sure. I'm actually going to go refill my water while she...
So I think the time before last that we recorded... I was still reading, I'm going to talk about my books. I was still reading These Shallow Graves by Jennifer Donnelly. It's a young adult historical fiction. The story of Josephine, who's a socialite, kind of. This is in the, 1910s, 1920s, or no. Was this from the late 1800s? I think this is from the late 1800s. and she gets called home from finishing school because her father's dead. And so the theory is that her father killed himself, but Josephine's like, he would never do that. And so things start to unravel, and she finds out some big secrets, family secrets, and this, you know, her father wasn't necessarily this great upstanding citizen that she thought, nor was her uncle. And so, it was good. It's been a while since I finished it, so I don't necessarily remember all of it. I gave it 4 stars on Goodreads. So if you like, YA historical fiction, it was a little bit, it was partly mystery with just a little bit of romance. It was a really good read. Then the next book I read was Reign of Shadows by Sophie Jordan. Sophie Jordan writes in a handful of genres. She writes young adult, she writes historical romance. Her latest venture is writing contemporary romance, which I, and she's written some new adult stuff as well. And she lives out here in Katy. So anyway, she wrote Reign of Shadows, which is a young adult fantasy. The trend kind of in YA right now is to retell a fairy tale from a different, you know,
yeah,
whatever. So that's one of, when we were talking about trends earlier, that's a trend right now. So Reign of Shadows, I can't remember what the girl's name was, has lived in this tower most of her life. It's a retelling of Rapunzel. And so, her and her two caretakers live in this tower in a faraway land. And she goes out one night, sneaks out of the tower to get berries, and encounters these people coming across their property. And they can only go out during certain times of the day called midlight, because there's these, what do they call them, dwellers, which in my mind are kind of like zombie swamp people. That's how I, in my head, they appear. So it's only safe to travel during, you know, be out and about during this time. And, but she's a secret princess because it's Rapunzel, and the king finds out she's still around or something. So the goal is to kill all girls between a certain age because she could still be alive. And so, I can't remember her name. Her and this boy that she encounters take off and do this journey. To me, it was a little unrealistic because I don't want to give away a spoiler, but she has a disability. And you're talking about going across wastelands. Just the two of you. And you can only theoretically travel during certain periods of time because of the zombie swamp people, the dwellers. So I didn't like it. I think it's part of a series. It didn't do a whole lot for me. The next book I read was called Assassin's Heart by Sarah Ayers. I'm not sure how you say her name. It's kind of a YA fantasy. It's I like female assassin stories. And so it's about this girl who's a teenager, 16 to 18 in that age. She's part of what's called a Clipper family. And so when you think of the mob and you think of, you know, you've got the mob families, it was kind of written kind of like that. Where they're paid to assassinate people that kind of want to commit suicide or you want to get rid of them or whatever. They're paid to do that, but they're like respected in that profession. Well, she sneaks out one night, and while she's out, her family's all killed. And so she must seek revenge. And so it's about her journey and seeking revenge. And it was a little too revenge. There's still, revenge was like on every page and got a little old. Mm-hmm. But it was okay. I also read The Glittering Court by Richelle Mead. Richelle Mead is known for writing the Vampire Academy series, Bloodlines. She has a Succubus series, and she's got some other books. I did not like this book. Glittering Court is about this girl who is a countess, so she's a teenager who her parents had died a couple years before, and so she lives with her grandmother, I think. And their money is dwindling, and as in any situation, you know, you must marry for money. You know, to keep your place in society and in connections. And so her grandmother is trying to marry her off to somebody. And she's like, yeah, I don't like him. I don't want to marry him. So what does she do? She runs away. She impersonates her maid and runs away to this colony where there's a school where they teach you. It's like a finishing school. And then you get married off there.
Oh,
well. Okay. Yeah. And it was just kind of like weird. And there, she has two friends, and one friend's named Mira. And so Mira, obviously there's, the next books are going to be about the other two girls, Tamsin and Mira. But, so you never really find out what Mira's secret is, but I just didn't like it. It's like, yeah, you're supposed to marry for money to maintain your place in society, but yet you're going to go to a foreign country or a foreign land and marry people you don't know that have the same education or money or whatever. It was just a little weird. I didn't like it. But I finished it because I wanted to see if I could find out what Mira's secret was, and they don't tell you. I am part of a Facebook group that is run by Sarah McLean, who is a New York Times bestselling romance author, called the Old School Romance Book Club, where every month we have a vote and vote to read a romance that was published before 2000. And so Sarah or somebody will put together a handful of suggestions, and we all vote, and then we read, and people post thoughts and opinions about the books. Well, the book for April was called The Pirate Prince by Galen Foley, and it was a historical romance. I think it was set in Italy, about this girl who, again, is being married off to a guy who is actually a real creep, and her father has done bad things, and she doesn't really realize that he's done bad things. Well, the pirate prince, forget what his name is, comes back to claim his rightful place on the throne. Well, he doesn't really want his rightful place, but he comes back to seek revenge. And so the story is about him kidnapping her and teaching her,
let's pause for a second.
Okay, so I was talking about The Pirate Prince. So it was okay. I'd say 3 stars. He doesn't do a lot of pirating, although they are in a boat, so. But he's a wounded, well, he has issues as a hero. You know, you get some of his story that he was basically kind of used and abused when he had been kidnapped as a kid. I just finished The Winner's Crime by Marie Rutkowski. That's the second book in the Winner's Curse series. A story about Kestrel and Aaron. Kestrel is this general's daughter who's made this deal to marry the commander's son in order basically to save Aaron, who she loves. And, Winner's Kiss is next on my list to read. That just came out. Winner's Crime was okay. It may have been me and not the book. I kind of tried to read it really quick, so sometimes when you do that, you're skipping over stuff and don't absorb the book as much. And then I'm currently reading Stars Above by Marissa Meyer. This is a group of short stories, novellas, whatever you want to call them, put together, about characters from the Lunar Chronicles. So it gives the story of Scarlett's grandmother, how Cress ends up on the satellite. There's one or two, there's a story about Thorne Carswell, who's in Cress, and there's one or two other stories. It's okay. I mean, it's kind of nice to have a backstory to say, per se, for some of the characters from that series, which is really good. I really like that series.
I was really disappointed. I went, so at the Texas Library Association conference a couple of weeks ago, Marissa Meyer was there, and there were always a lot of YA authors there, but she was the only one this year that whose name I really recognized. So we went, Darcy and I actually went on the first day of the conference to a, it was like a middle grade fantasy, I think it was just general fantasy session where there were a series of really awesome authors. I didn't know them, but they were like, they were really good speakers, and a couple of them were just really adorable. I can't remember who they were right now. But later on in the week, I went to, it was a panel on the fairy tale retellings, and Marissa Meyer was on it, and a couple others. I'm sure the names would, I mean, there were big names, but I don't right. remember them. And it was so boring. It was so boring. Just the way they ran the panel. It's like there were no visuals, which just helps keep your attention. They didn't have, like they would just ask a question and then like random people would answer it. I mean, like they didn't go through and have each person answer it. And it just, I ended up leaving about halfway through just because it just wasn't, with such good authors, it was really disappointing. Yeah. And I was going to go get a book signed by Marissa Meyer, even though I haven't read any of the Lunar Chronicles yet. I've wanted to. They're on my list of things to read. But I thought, my daughter, I think, would really like them. And so I was going to get a signed copy for her, but then something else ended up conflicting with it. So I didn't do that. That does remind, I'll get into what I was reading. That was it, right?
I think that's all I had. I don't necessarily write reviews on Goodreads. I will for the summer, because I have to do it for summer reading club for work. Occasionally I'll write a review or something, but I do at least keep track of what I read and do ratings in Goodreads. So you're welcome to follow me or poke around in, on my shelves and things like that. I alternate between YA and historical romance occasionally with a regular book in there. Just cause I need, if I read the same type of book four in a row, they just all blend together, so.
Yeah. It's the same.
But that's what I got right now.
Yeah. So speaking of not getting to go meet Marissa Meyer, Maggie Stiefvater was in Houston last week, and I think the weather was supposed to be bad. It was we've been having a lot of spring storms. And there was a potential for severe weather, so we decided to not go. My daughter had messaged me maybe the week before and asked, and told me that I should go meet Maggie Stiefvater. And that she was promoting their release of the last in the Raven Cycle series. And so we had actually planned to go. I decided that even though I haven't read all of the books, it would be fun to go, and we would go and we would get a copy signed for Laura as a surprise. And we ended up not going, but we ended up ordering the book online. I wish I had gone. I knew at least five or six people who were gone. Hello, Kitty. He's rubbing on me. But we ended up not. We ordered the book, and then we keep forgetting to go get it. And my husband actually, I think, is going to go pick it up. If he hasn't already, he's going to do it today. So we will have that for Laura when she comes back next weekend. Hey, kitty. I guess I'm a fixture now. I'm not such a known an unknown entity. All right. So I did get to meet. Well, I've met her several times, but Chitra Banerjee Devakaruni is a South Asian author who actually happens to live in the Houston area. So she was at TLA the week I was there, and she was signing free copies of her newest book, which was actually released the day before. And my coworker is actually goes to the same Zumba class as she does. So she had approached her and asked her to write a blog post for our work blog. And so she had done that. And so I went with Saima and got a book signed by her and talked to her. And she's just such, she's a really sweet person. And she was telling me, she's like, "Do you know how I know Saima?" I'm like, "Yes, y'all go to Zumba together." But that was a lot of fun. And then right after that, we happened to be walking past and a friend of mine saw me and was like, "Oh, you should go get this book signed." And, oh gosh, what's her name? Oh, I completely blanked on the author's name. She is a major writer. I'm pausing for a second. Okay. Sorry about that. Brain fart. Laura Lippman was signing free copies of her book, so I went through and got a copy signed for her. I've never actually read any Laura Lippman books, but I have her on my list of authors to read, so figured this was a good place to start. So that was cool. Got things signed by her. But I forgot the big one, and Katie reminded me while we were paused. One of the general session speakers at TLA was LeVar Burton of Reading Rainbow and Star Trek fame and roots. And I actually went through and got a book signed by him too. And he was such a nice guy. I mean, he was genuinely nice. He took a moment with everybody that came through. He shook their hand, and it wasn't just, people didn't stick out their hand and he would shake it. He initiated it and just like he would ask a question. I mean, was genuinely interested in everybody that came through and gave you his full attention for a minute. I walked up and he was like, I happened to walk up and he had leaned down and was reaching for a hand sanitizer. And I was like, "Oh no, that's a good idea." He looked at me and he was like, "Yeah, that lady had a cold." Oh. And I was like, "Oh no." But he was, so he was telling me and he was asking, about my family because I was having it signed to the whole, to our whole family. And it was just one of those, sometimes you meet these authors and they're a little less than you expected, or they're rude, or they're rushed, or you're whatever. And he was just such a genuinely nice guy. So that was a lot of fun. So this was, as far as meeting authors go, this was a pretty good session. As far as what I've been reading, really slow lately, so I don't have the huge list that Katie has. I may have taken some things off the list from the last time, probably because I wouldn't remember them. But I finished The Last Unicorn by Peter S. Beagle. And this is one of those books that I've heard about forever, and I know a lot of people saw the movie, I think that I was probably maybe middle school age when the movie was popular. And I'd never heard of it until I was an adult. I guess I was a deprived child. I don't know. But it was one of those that I keep hearing of as a fantasy classic, a children's fantasy classic. And I did not like this book. And I don't know. I may get flogged for that. But it was boring. I found it boring. I didn't find anything about it likable. Now, when I was reading it a couple of times, it would be like, "Oh, okay, it's getting interesting. Maybe it's a 4. I can see that." Then I'd go back to 3. Now, it was a solid 3 with parts that were 2. It just was, 2 is generally reserved for bad writing for me. The writing wasn't bad. I just found it boring. It was not, it didn't do anything for me. So if you're a Last Unicorn lover, sorry. And then the next thing I read was The Girls by Tucker Shaw, and this was an advanced reader copy I'd gotten several years ago, probably 6 years ago or more, it's been on my bookshelf and I'd never read, and it is complete and utter YA fluff, which is nothing wrong with that. If you have ever seen the movie or read the play, The Women, which I had never heard of, but I mentioned it to a couple of other coworkers, and they're like, "Oh yeah, I love that movie," or "I love that play." This is a retelling of that play with teenage girls instead of women. And basically, it's set at a boarding school in Colorado, and the main character's roommate finds out that her boyfriend... Well, okay, the main character finds out that her roommate's boyfriend is cheating on her and doesn't tell her. But then the girl finds out anyway, and there's the snarky friend and the backstabber friend and, you know, all of this stuff. And it's complete and utter fluff, but it was totally enjoyable. So I would, if you want some fluff, I would recommend that. I actually did recommend it to somebody who was looking for fluff this week. And then currently I'm reading Becoming Steve Jobs, and I don't remember the author of that, but this is not the Steve Jobs biography that came out right after his death by Walter Isaacson, but one that came out, I think it came out in 2015. Let me see if I can get the name of that real quick while I'm talking about it. Brent Schlender, who I think he was a former, or maybe not former, but he wrote for Fortune magazine, I think. Mm-hmm. But this is obviously nonfiction biography about Steve Jobs. And from what I understand, I haven't read any of the other biographies, but I've heard that the first couple that came out after Jobs died were pretty scathing. I mean, he wasn't a particularly nice guy. And they only showed the bad side. And what Brent Schlender tries to do in this one is to kind of show a more balanced picture of him. Because, yeah, he was kind of a jerk. And he was apparently very difficult to work with. He didn't always make the best decisions, especially early in his career. He had a lot of failures. But he was kind of revered at the same time. And what he shows... He does show that side, for sure, but he also shows the softer side of Steve Jobs, too. And I'm about halfway done. I'm right about 50% on my Kindle copy. And I'm at the part where he has just come back as Apple CEO in 1997. So I'm actually really interested to see. Because early in his career, he wasn't ready to be a CEO. He had a lot of good ideas, but he wasn't a good manager. And he was, like I said, he had a lot of failures. But then once he had success with Pixar, or he didn't have success, but Pixar was successful, he started, things improved for him. And apparently in the hiatus between when he was with Apple originally and when he came back, he did a lot of introspection. And I think he's apparently was a softer Steve Jobs. So I'm very eager to see how that plays out in the second part of the book. But so far, I would really recommend this if you're interested in, especially, I mean, just kind of the history of computing in general. But also if you're an Apple fan, boy or girl, I would recommend this one. And that is it. I probably won't finish this one until I leave on my trip or really close. So the next thing I'll start is probably going to be something mindless. So I'm probably going to start the second in the Raven cycle just because it'll be nice mindless knitting. I mean, reading. And that, I guess, is it. Wow. We're almost at an hour and a half. So, if you have stuck with us this long, thank you. Like I said, I will be posting more information about the knit along in the Ravelry group. Please come join us on the group. We would love to have you. If you have a chance, you can give us a review in iTunes. I guess that's it. All right, so hopefully we will talk to y'all again. It'll be maybe around Memorial Day. Oh, and also to those of you in the United States and who celebrate, happy Mother's Day. Mother's Day is tomorrow. So happy Mother's Day, Mom. And we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Bye.